Now the next audio file, we are on page 175 in the old indexing, but Wendell Stevens PDF book for the same have 215. It's a little bit below center of that, where he talks about E.T.B. Rain marriages, and he say E.T.B. Rain marriage needs some little explanation. Earth dwellers consider the privilege of marriage to be quite natural. In reality, the consequences, apart from having children, frequently turn out to be the most unnatural, mostly because the hypocritical restrictions imposed by norms of social behavior. On ETB Ra 2, however, different norms exist. People there fall in love naturally, marry and have children as a consequence of that loving union. But the child moves from the family unit to an educational center round about its 6th year. Marriages usually break up soon after the child commences its education. Thus, it is unusual for a marriage to last for more than 6 years or so. The most common cause for the breakdown of marriage is irritation, brought about by boredom itself, the progeny of habit. This custom is of short marriages is seen in its true perspective when it is appreciated that if monogamy were practiced on Itibira 2, some marriages would have to last for 400 years and more. On earth, it is exceptional marriage that lasts for 60 years without the parents falling out of love with each other and becoming irritated by each other's habits. The chances of such an occurrence, therefore, must be multiplied among the Itibirians and other people noted for their longevity. I must confess that I laughed heartily when Satura explained the marriage customs to me. But Satura remained unsmiling. He pointed out that irritation between marriage partners could only be avoided by their complete compatibility. Although scarce, this was not entirely unknown. He gave as examples the marriages of his own parents and of his grandparents. He also pointed out that these long-term unions were not based on permanent sexual love, for passion cannot bloom internally. Passion is replaced by friendship and companionship, which are other manifestations of love. The Itibirians hold that the more permanent unions of non-sexual love do not need the sanction of a register office ceremony to make them binding, not even a formal exchange of vows. Such a prerequisite for such a union would be proof of immaturity, a worthless insurance policy attempting to keep a union indissoluble after all feeling have died. There can be no guarantee for the permanence of the state of love. Insisting upon marriage vows runs the argument is merely proof that human beings can have no confidence in the lasting quality of love. Satura, after his fourth union of love, had acquired a family of three, one boy and two girls. It was in the year 1887 when he first came into contact with a wonderful woman from the Penit Science civilization, a people who enjoy an even larger lifespan than the Iberians. She was Avard Satura, just such another as Siti, a woman looking much younger than her actual years. Satura explained that he was not the commander of that particular expedition. He had duties similar to those of any other scientist. Metis, professionally speaking, enjoyed the same status as himself. Their chance meeting during that particular flight led, Satura assured me, to the greatest love story of his entire life. It had outlasted most marriages based solely on the union of love principle. It had outlasted all the marriages of all his friends and colleagues. Satura and Metis did not have one permanent home. They had homes in several planets, but by far their favorite home was that at Kotosuti. They revealed the crystal clear blue waters of the Kotosuti stream. To this home came the children to spend their precious holidays. Satura explained that they loved the Kotosi home not only because of the breathtaking beauty of the surrounding scenery, not only because of the fine water sports that they could enjoy, but also because this house was fairly close to where his aged parents lived. This afforded the opportunity for the entire family to meet over the Enit holiday period. Metis Satura called her his companion of life, had no further contact with her parents, both of whom had remarried on several occasions. There were also the difficulty of distance involved in this permanent separation, for Metis' parents lived on faraway signs, and it took all over 2 years to travel there from Itibira too. Very few Sinesians live on Itibira too, so Miti devoted herself wholeheartedly to Satura, their children, and his friends and colleagues. By all accounts, Miti still retained her exotic beauty, was possessed of a charming nature, and her love for Satura was enduring as his for her. This protestation of enduring love, the one for the other, somewhat puzzled me when Satura referred to it. I still remember her very well, this discussion, which had taken place shortly before they took me to the Peruvian highlands together with the little girl. I had asked him how he could remain in love when he was separated for such long periods from his beloved, and he had answered that Metis was right with him on the very control craft and had been with him already at the earlier landings on our planet. I was never able to unravel the enigma. Not to this day have I been able to fathom out who Metis really was. Naturally, I thought she was one of the many lady scientists with the expedition. In any case, Satura must have had good and sufficient reasons for wanting to keep this part of his life completely secret. The fact that he had told me this much of his private affairs is illustrative of the esteem in which he held me. As Satura had already already mentioned the Enid holiday period. I had also asked him to explain something more about the festivals and holidays which cosmic people celebrate. This additional information I shall include as the last pages of this book. Then, top of 179 in the old index, which is same as 219 on the new index, PDF index. Well, Satura recalled that he had been appointed to religious leader of the equatorial regions of Itibira too. This included his own home district. For 60 years, he told me, he was the representative, both religious and civil, of the supreme authority of Itibira too. During his term of office, arrangements had to be made for the reception of several thousand immigrants from the troubled southern sector of Itibira too. These immigrants were inhabitants of the Sedi region. Sedi may be translated as the shadow or sombra area of the planet, and was so named because it was always in the shadow of the small working planet that the Itibiraeans had attached to their home planet. The climate of the Sedi region was cool and unhealthy. The supreme authority therefore decided to evacuate the people living there. The evacuation was successfully carried out, and Satura fell the task of organizing the reception of the immigrants in the equatorial belt. This meant preparing new homes, transportation, jobs, supplies, educational centers, everything that goes into the founding of an entirely new settlement. Satura pointed out that human beings retained a caveman's attachment to their homes, loathing to leave them. This is basically because human beings are still very insecure. The Sedians, unlike the rest of the Itibiraeans, had similar fears to the human cousins and did not want to leave the Sedi region, unhealthy though it was. Satura had the task also of easing their minds so that the mass migration was accomplished with tranquility. This he succeeded in doing, so that the newcomers soon became completely absorbed into the equatorial settlement. The people who lived in the equatorial region were very happy to welcome their brothers and sisters from the inhospitable Sedi region. Soon there was a complete integrated community. Many of the new arrivals had biological skills, and these were soon absorbed into the existing plantations. Because of their background, they are perhaps more dour of character than the equatorial people among whom they now made their home. However, Satura said it was most rewarding to have seen them soften up under the influence of the more happy go-lucky and become eventually as cheerful and optimistic as the original inhabitants of the equatorial region. My friend insisted that all temperaments can be changed by a change of environment. His work, helped by the efforts of Métis to assist the new settlers, was often difficult, but at all times they were sustained by the fifth commandment in the religion, to one which says, "You shall work according to your character and talent, and at all times be kind and cheerful, nor shall you feel superior to others." This affirmed Satura was a wonderful commandment indeed, for its application made a new people out of all. This information about the life of Satura was partly given to me by a sister and partly by himself. What he himself told me about the religion and the festivals, parentheses, celebrated not only by themselves, but most of their friends belonging to what he called an intercosmic ring of civilizations, end of parentheses. This does not make much sense to us at the present time. He repeated that there were 444 civilizations within the cosmic ring. Because of the vast distances involved, the Intibirians had not made personal contact with every one of these civilizations. However, no matter how remote a civilization, all of them belong to the same school of cosmophilosophy. All of them follow the same basic educational pattern. This was achieved by direct contact between neighbors, each civilization being a link that bound and taught the next link. At this point, I remember Satura reeled off the seven fundamental religious laws as though seeking to impress them forever upon my memory. Rusit, Sitla, Sinver, Suto, Atas, Orus, and Rusit Fin. Although there was no direct personal contact with every civilization within the ring, yet Satura emphasized that there was constant intercosmic communication with all the constituent parts, no matter how distant. Some kind of an intercosmic United Nations, which could keep in touch with all nations in the cosmos. He also pointed out that it was comparatively simple for all planets belonging to their own solar system to keep in touch with one another. I could understand this supreme cosmic communication system. Some of the most powerful Earth observatories have succeeded in picking up radio signals from outer space. These signals, although not understood, are part of the network of communication set up by the 444 civilizations forming the cosmic ring. Satura reflected that this small beginning of picking up radio signals might pave the way to a fuller communication system involving Earth and the other planets. This itself might lead the way to Earth cosmonauts making the first tentative advances along the road to a fuller intercosmic religious union in which Earth religions amalgate with the cosmophilosophic concept of God, nature. He was confident about the inevitability of such a union, and hinted that the movement would spread across Earth, spearheaded by leading human scientists and theologians. He did not, however, foresee the occurring until Earth understood the full implications of cosmophilosophy and its health and mind restoring qualities. Earth, Satura assured me gently, was considered to be an underdeveloped planet with a warmongering kind of humanity, trying to maintain standards well below those of the average cosmic civilization. The supreme authority of the cosmic ring had decided to keep a watchful eye on the antics of Earth, bidding their time until the right moment when, by evolutionary process, Earth would have reached a stage in its development when it could be admitted to full partnership in the cosmic ring. The life of Mr. Satura, far from being concluded, has taught me a great deal about human nature. I no longer believe that our young people are wrong to protest against the cruelty of war. I no longer believe that the hypothesis of the survival of the fittest, regardless of morality and ethical qualities, makes sense, and I no longer believe that our planet Earth and its population has special privileges in relation to religion and God. But I now believe that our present stage of evolution, only a strong belief in God nature and love for each other, can stop us from destruction. The life of Mr. Satura has also taught me that the mind of man is nothing but a product of natural causes. It is possible, with the help of cosmophilosophy, really to understand our evolutionary destiny. It is possible to stop this race of hatred and turn to love. Footnote down on page 222. That is Stevens Index. Footnote. A note from a diary shows this translation from one of the oldest Amat Mayana quotations. Your pride in material gains shall lead you to habit and surroundings dangerous to your health and very life. That was end of chapter 21. I think I need a break. So I stop here and read the next chapter in a separate audio file, which is then chapter 22.